This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, 3, 2, 1, hit it.
Chris Ronji, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
You know who it is.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called The Show.
Yeah. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Hello, it's Friday. It's the weekend. It feels like a Monday. It's our first show.
It does feel like Monday.
It's our first show of 2026, and guess who's not here?
Hey!
Chris Ronji is, we're pretty sure, visiting his wife and kids in Chicago. In the meantime, Mike Elam, the esteemed and venerable Mike Elam, has really come in clutch this morning and joined us on the show. He'll be with us all morning, as will the window washers who are outside Studio B on this cloudy Friday morning.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. I don't think I've ever done a show with window washers.
Well,
creeping in on us.
It'll be a clear view day.
I love
that. It's funny because John Hancock was supposed to be filling in.
He was.
He was supposed to be playing the Democrat Socialist Chris Ronji.
Yes.
And then he got sick. So I'm excited to be able to be here. So thanks for Steve Moore for waking me up this morning saying, hey, opportunity is knocking. Are you willing to open the door?
Which is why we need to hear from you, especially our communist comrades who are listening, because you don't have your comrade in the studio, and unfortunately, you've got two fiscal conservatives.
I would say this fortunately, not unfortunately. Today, we are going to make sure that we are going back to Rush Limbaugh days.
Oh, no, don't.
Yes.
No, not
yes.
that. Don't.
Yo, we are going to have fun today.
Bucket.
Today, we are going to have fun. We are going to keep the world safe for democracy, and we are going to make sure that start off 2026 in a right frame of mind.
So we do want to hear from you. To be fair, Mike, I am a rhino, I believe.
It's okay. There's someone on the Republican Party that is calling someone else in the Republican Party a rhino right now.
That's right. And it's not all politics today anyway, so don't worry about it. But we do need to hear from you. 314-436-7900. Call or text. Again, we're counting on you, my friend.
The Order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
All right. As we said, it's 2026. We want to know your goals for this year. By the way, we will be speaking with the executive director of the American Psychiatric Association at 10:30 this morning. As many Americans' New Year's resolutions shift towards mental health.
Are we doing that because I'm here? I'm just curious.
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you brought up Rush Limbaugh and suddenly
I could use some
I'm
help.
A little apoplectic.
It's okay.
Speaking of the opposite of that, the new mayor of New York City, he was sworn in.
Yes, he was.
And he spoke of the, quote, warmth of collectivism. We will have to address that. I apologize. We'll have to address that. And meanwhile, continuing on bad news, the Blues played the Colorado Avalanche on New Year's Eve, and it was not good. It was pretty embarrassing, so they look for redemption today, actually.
Unfortunately, that's become more the norm than the exception.
That's true. It's a bit of a rough season so far for the Blues, but they do play the Vegas Golden Knights at 2 p.m. today at Enterprise Center. So maybe we can start 2026 with a win after that rough go a couple of nights ago. All right, Mike. So 2026.
Yes.
A lot of people do New Year's resolutions. Are you a New Year's resolution kind of guy?
I am not. You know, typically when you start in January, this is the time where everybody's going to get into shape,
yep.
right? So Club Fitness, Club Elite, I think they're called now, is probably
going to
be. Yeah, they're busting at the seams, I'm sure, starting today. Everybody's going to show up and it'll be that way till I don't know, January 5th. And then people will go, yeah, that was a better idea on paper.
Yeah. Well, I know the gyms are always crowded for that, that first part of the year. I've never been a New Year's resolution person either.
Yeah, I don't need that pressure. I have enough pressure in my life, doing enough other things that's going on. I make enough other people unhappy every day. So I don't need the pressure of doing that. Let's just find a good path and try to move forward.
So do you make goals? Do you reminisce?
I do.
Do you look ahead? Okay, so you do some type of contemplative
I do.
Moment when the year flips over.
So I drive my wife crazy with these things because I'm at the point now, I'm 59.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at that point where I see retirement on the horizon and it scares the hell out of me because I had kids. So I spent my money on children rather than putting money away for my retirement the way that I should. I mean, I'm not going to be in the poorhouse. I think we've got a plan, but I've got maybe 9 more years till I launch off into retirement.
Okay, I thought you were going to say maybe 9 more years till I run out of money.
Well, God, no. I hope not. My father's 93, so I think, you know, if I follow his genes, I'm going to be here
You're going to need some cash in the pocket.
You know, the worst thing that people talk about is you don't want to run out of money and you still have life to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to kind of time that out to where you run out of life before you run out of money. Not a fun 2026 frame of mind to get into, I guess.
I know.
But I mean, it's kind of better to do that, right? You don't want to run out of money before you run out of month as we start off.
Yeah.
And you keep doing that consistently. So I put together this whole thing on ChatGPT over the weekend. And I was putting together everything that I thought I had in place. And I was trying to formulate it all and say, how can I use, trying to embrace AI? I'm trying to be that guy, right? How can I embrace AI to help me with a life plan overall? Not just money, but career, politics, all this stuff. Because politics is part of my career, being the chairman of the county council, right? So I'm navigating all of that and trying to get all that through. So trying to put my life on paper. So you can look at it and say, where am I strong? Where am I okay? Where do I need to get better? And trying to put that plan into place. So that's what I did over the weekend. And then I get up like between 5:30 normally every day because my dog wakes me up. And my wife likes to sleep in till the sun is warm, shall we say.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so she'll get up and she'll come downstairs and start making her coffee. And I'll go, hey, by the way, and she just gives me that look of, it's too early. I'm not ready for you right now. So take a pause. Let me wake up before you hit me with, hey, I've been up for 3 hours now. Let me tell you what's going on.
This is such a real phenomenon between, I guess, this is what they mean by morning people.
Yes.
And night people are not morning people because I am a morning person. Like, I love mornings. But there are a lot of mornings where I'm really tired when my alarm goes off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like, especially if I'm getting up really early to run. At 4:45, I don't feel like a morning person. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I would pay $5 million to sleep, you know? That's how you feel. There have been times when my alarm's gone off at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and I've thought, I'm going to have a heart attack if I get out of bed. Probably because I didn't go to bed early enough. But I thought, well, maybe I'm not a morning person, like I thought. And that's just not true. Because when I wake up, it is, bam, hit the ground running in the sense of once I get out of bed, I am moving forward, drinking coffee, getting dressed. I usually will have the radio on, like TIAM or a podcast. And
every day's better with Debbie Monterey.
Every day is better with Debbie Monterey.
And Tom Ackerman is just such a pleasant guy.
He is.
And right now he's on cloud 9 with Indiana.
It is. So even better. But anyway, I wake up one time where I'm like in Houston for a race.
Okay.
I feel like I've been up for a long time, like a half an hour, right? I go downstairs in the lobby. My coach is there, another running buddy. And I say hi, I talk about the coffee, let's go get food, what do you think about the race tomorrow? Oh my gosh, I was listening to this podcast and it was all about the fascistic tendencies in liberal democracies, like how, you know, what can happen.
Holy
and
crap.
They looked at me and they just said, you are way too much. You need to calm down.
That's a lot even for me. To hit me with all that, I mean, talking about coffee in the day and the weather, that's one thing. I like to get up in the morning. Like, so are you a routine person? Do you start your day every day the same way?
When I can, in the sense that I always have coffee, but the training, if I'm really training and running in the morning, it's all about survival. So like you get up, you throw your clothes on, you run. But yes, otherwise I would be. I like the routine of waking up and having coffee, opening the blinds, you know, all of that type of thing.
I'm up with my dog. Yep. She's 13. So she and I have a routine. So I get up, I make her food. I hit my coffee button to start brewing while I'm getting her food together. And put her out to have, you know, go do her morning constitution stuff in the yard. And then I get all that done. And then I go sit down on the couch and I put my earbuds in with my coffee. And I listen to my morning meditation type thing to get me started, right? So I listen to this daily devotional every day to kind of start in a right frame of mind.
Yeah.
Started doing that a number of months ago, just going, I got to start my day in a more positive thing. I can't get up and do social media because it puts me in the wrong frame of mind. And I can't get up and do news right away. I need to start with something positive and get me going that way because life will beat you down. And if you don't arm yourself with something positive to start your day, man, it can be a long day every day.
Mike, I am so glad you brought this up because we're actually talking about some of this at 9:30. And again, we want to hear from you, 314-436-7900. When you walked into the office this morning, you know, asked how I was, and I'm like, I said, I am not cut out for this job. I hate news and politics. You know, and I it's wearing me down. I was always a positive person. And what you just said about waking up and the first thing that you absorb is social media or news is 100% a way to put yourself on like a negative trajectory for the day. I've had to take proactive steps to get out of that habit. We'll talk about that at 9:30 along with like school phone bans, people like being on their phones during family gathering.
Oh yeah.
And you know, and like, are we even interacting anymore? But I love that topic of the morning routine. So we will get to that and have more time to discuss that at 9:30 because you're onto something that is, I think, critical for physical, mental, and emotional health.
And mental health is a big deal. It's a big topic that people have started talking about. It used to be a taboo subject that we didn't talk about. Now we are. And I think that's probably the biggest resolution that I would say for this new year. I didn't make a resolution, but it's one of the things I'm trying to be intentional about in 2026.
Yes. Great, great phrase. Again, 314-436-7900. Mike Elam is in with me. I'm Amy Markscores. It is the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bit of breaking news here. In the hockey world, Philip Broberg, the Blues defenseman, will join Team Sweden at the Winter Olympics. He is now the third Blue to be named to an Olympic team roster, the other two being defenseman Colton Parayko and goalie Jordan Binnington, who will be playing for Team Canada. Team USA's roster was announced, and we will get to that. I believe no St. Louis Blues are on Team USA, but I'm pretty sure is Justin Falk the only American currently on the Blues roster? I think so. James is shaking his head.
James says no.
I don't know. I want to say playing. I mean, I know the roster's changed a lot.
I thought Fowler was a
Minnesota. I think he's Canadian. Wait, one of them. We'll look it up. I thought it was Justin Falk was the only American, but I could be wrong. At any rate, congratulations to Philip Broberg. I will say, in a season of negativity and some, you know, disappointments with the Blues, one really shining bright spot has been Philip Broberg. Nothing but upside with that guy. He has really, really stepped up. His game playing paired with Colton Parayko on that number one defensive pairing, his offensive upside is insane. So anyway, that's a plus. James?
I do actually have the Blues roster up. You were right. Fowler is actually Canadian.
Yeah.
He might actually have American descent or something.
He's got American ties.
Yeah. I think there's something American that. With. But Nick Bjugstad is actually from Minnesota.
That's right.
You might not think so with the name.
Hey, look at this.
That's right, because he says his number one...
Amy's taking a picture of the window washer.
Sorry.
Who just showed up.
He just showed up and gave us a thumbs up. I took a picture.
He just landed.
Nick Bjugstad said the hardest, you know, thing to convince people in his life is that he's not Swedish. He's like, I'm not. I'm from the United States.
And then Snuggerud's also from Minnesota. And it looks like Matthew Kessel is a Michigan.
Yeah, which explains why... When I looked at the last roster, there was one American flag because Bjugstad and Snuggerud were hurt a couple of weeks ago.
Well, Kessel's been healthy all year. He just hasn't been in the lineup.
Yeah, so this was not necessarily the roster, I should say, but in one of the more recent lineups, Falk was the only American. All right, before we have too much fun today.
Hey, can I? Before you head down that road, just to make people in a positive frame of mind.
Okay.
For some reason, you know how Facebook has those memories that pop up of your past?
Yeah.
Just so you know, 8 years ago today, if you were waking up, it was -7.
Oh.
So just so you know, you're in a much better place today than it was 8 years ago. The world is a much warmer place than it
was. Assuming you're not a cold weather person, because Mike Elam here, he likes the warm weather.
So I've lost 80 pounds over the last year.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
And I
needed to, right? It needed to happen. But I will tell you, without my insulation that I would carry around, cold weather didn't used to bother me. Now, a chilly spring day makes me feel cold. So
yeah.
I'm like, hey.
You don't have the insulation.
I don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, I want some warmth. So when we walked in and the studio was kind of warm, you're like, it's kind of toasty in here. I'm like, it actually feels pretty good. I'm good right now.
I don't know. I run hot. I'm always hot.
That's what I read on social media.
All righty then. Okay. Do want to swing over to New York, like I said, before we have too much fun.
Let's go.
Okay. The new mayor of New York City, Zoran Mamdani. He was sworn in yesterday, was it? A couple days ago?
Yes. Yesterday.
And this is one, I will say, quote that has been gathering quite a bit of attention across the country.
We will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism.
He will replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism.
That sounds horrible.
Sounds horrible. I mean,
it really does.
I did ask. I said, wait a minute. Do you mean the warmth of collectivism that systematically murdered about 100 million people globally
over the past
100 years or so? Listen, I get it. I'm not like panicking. I do think bad ideas, when they fail, sometimes rectify themselves, and I feel like the people of New York are going to get tired of the warmth of collectivism pretty quickly. I don't think this is the beginning of the end for New York or for the United States. However, I found it somewhat jarring and appalling to not just hear the mayor of New York City speak of the warmth of collectivism, but for him to also demean the rugged individualism that built this country.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what America is known for, right?
Yeah.
Even
to a fault. I've said that. Like, we are independent, individualistic, the Lone Ranger to a fault. It's both a blessing and a curse, but in many ways a blessing.
It's definitely how the country was built. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sort of individual, I'm going to step out there and I'm going to pull myself up from my bootstraps or whatever we're going to call that these days, but I'm going to take personal responsibility for my life. That's kind of where we were. Now, that's really gone off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
I, I would say the last 10 years for sure, but it's even further than that, I would say. But socialism is an interesting sell, especially to people who say, I don't really want to work that hard. So I'm more about getting everything I can out of life for free and not really doing anything to earn it. So what he's selling has a big appeal to a certain population of America who are like, yeah, if I can get all this stuff and I really have to do anything for it, this sounds great. You would think common sense is going to tell you, you know, things have to get paid for somewhere. Mm-hmm. And how are you going to do that? So it's going to be interesting to see how the business community responds, because he demonized all these billionaires forever. The great part about being a billionaire is you have enough money to live wherever you want. And you can say, you know what, if you're going to just take all this stuff from me and I get no benefit out of it, welcome to Tennessee, welcome to mm-hmm. Florida, welcome to Texas. I'm going somewhere other than here. And if I take my money with me, your plan just crumbled.
Yeah, and I get it in the sense that there's no utopia out there.
There's
and
not.
Everything is a trade-off. Everything is a trade-off in freedom and virtue and the markets and so forth. And so will you see abuses in a capitalist system? Sure, yes. You're going to see abuses from billionaires or business owners. You'll see abuses on other sides of things. But when you look at a framework that's built to accommodate a broken human nature, which framework deals best not with the ideal but with the reality?
And I think we have to have a conversation in the country about who do we want to be, right? So right now, the Missouri legislature, going into the next session, one of the big policies, I think they get into session next week, as a matter of fact. So as they get kicked back in Jeff City, one of the big things that Governor Kehoe wants to do this year is get rid of state income tax. And we just got rid of capital gains tax last year. So you can get rid of pretty much any tax you want to get rid of. You really can. The question is, what are you willing to do without? You can't keep everything that you have and not pay for it. Mm-hmm. So if you want to cut taxes, man. That's great. You leave more money in the individual taxpayer's pocket. I'm all for that. But you need to be okay with making that trade-off that says, I get to keep more of my money in my pocket. However, I'm not going to have this or this or this. And you've got to be okay, and you've got to walk into it with your eyes open and said, okay, my streets aren't going to get fixed as quick as what I would expect them to get fixed, because you're not going to have as many highway workers, road workers, equipment to be able to go fix the roads, the asphalt to go fill in that pothole. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get the road. You're not going to get the grass on the side of the road mowed as much as you normally would, because you're going to have fewer highway workers. If that's a trade-off that you're good with, great. Let's do it. You just need to understand everything has a cost. And as long as you're willing to pay that cost, then we can roll and we're all good.
Let's continue the conversation when we come back as well. A few more notes. Bernie Sanders was at Zoran Mamdani's swearing-in in New York. But we also, as always, want to hear from you. 314-436-7900. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX. Elam, Amy Mark scores with you on this January 2nd, this Friday, in that weird floating time between Christmas and New Year's and getting back to regular business. We were talking about Zoran Mamdani being sworn in as mayor of New York City yesterday, and how Mamdani has promised to run his administration as a socialist, a democratic socialist. He said he wants to, quote, replace the frigidity of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. And the reason why I think it's a big deal is not only because of the, I would say, the ignorance and disparagement of rugged individualism, which played such a huge role in the United States being the country that it is, but also the warmth of collectivism to me crosses a line where that's the language not just of a democratic socialist. That's just communist language.
It is.
You know, because I get it. Like, AOC is a democratic socialist. Bernie Sanders is a democratic socialist who is pretty communist in a lot of ways. But, you know, you would almost think that there would be some effort to present democratic socialism and say, listen, no, we're not communist. We're not insane. We're not going to seize the means of production. But there was no pretense there. And it hit especially hard because we have so many people in, families, kids in from college.
Yeah.
Over the holidays. And I've had some great conversations with former students. And one student is helping to research a new project for Stanford Law, one of my former students. And she will be spending all summer in Cambodia.
Ooh.
Studying the Khmer Rouge.
Okay.
Specifically, the residual legal mechanisms after all of the human rights abuses in the Khmer Rouge and the killing fields and the genocide that happened there, which of course was because it was Pol Pot and wanting to turn Cambodia into a classless agrarian society. And just the atrocities.
All he had to do was kill 2 million people to
right,
make that happen.
Right. A quarter of the population of the
yeah.
country. And just like some of the worst brutalities, you know, that we've ever seen. And you know, maybe it was the bias, recency bias, but having that conversation literally hours before you hear the phrase, the warmth of collectivism from Zoran Mamdani. And I get it. I'm not saying he's going to be Pol Pot, but it is, I think, an affront to the ideals of the United States. You can criticize capitalism if you want. You can criticize free market capitalism. You can say there should be more limitations on it. My goodness, we have a president who likes tariffs, which has been pretty, which have been famously non-free market when it comes to tariffs and so forth and all this protectionism. And you can have all of those conversations, but I do find it rather offensive, not in a pearl clutching way. I'm not a pearl clutcher, but offensive in the whoof. That's a packed statement.
I don't even have pearls to clutch.
Yes, I don't even have pearls to clutch. You know, I don't know, Mike. Do you feel, and I guess I'm not panicking at all. I just, it makes me sad, honestly, more than anything else, because I do think we take so much for granted.
In our country,
the freedoms that we have, the voting, the democracy, the freedom of the press, the freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble, all of these things that we really take for granted. And when we start focusing on grievance politics and how poorly we're being treated, and we don't have the perspective of how other people live around the world,
right,
or societies that have been crushed by true authoritarian regimes, I think that's a dangerous place to be.
I completely agree with you from that standpoint. Here's my hope. Mm-hmm. He can say basically whatever he wants to say, but a lot of the policies that he wants to put into place, he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
He can say whatever he wants to say, and he can rile up the troops and get them all excited, and that's a big rah-rah for his base. For that Democrat, socialist, slash communist base, they're all about him, and he is their poster child, and he's the guy that they want to see lead them to the promised land of whatever that utopia in their mind is supposed to be. Here's the thing. He can't do it without help from the legislature, in New York.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do it without help of the city council in New York. And you've already seen some of the council members in New York who've said, I'm not on board with this. Even the Democrats who were there. Because remember, even though you have a majority Democrat legislature in New York, you have a Democrat governor in New York, they have both said, I'm not on board with mm-hmm. everything this guy's talking about. And it goes back to what we were talking about before, where the billionaires can leave if they want. And the city of New York cannot afford the billionaires to leave. Even the upper millionaires cannot leave, because if they take their money and they move away, that's the money that he's wanting to go grab to put all these policies into place. He's already said that I'm going to institute all this rent control and all these things that he's going to do. And he still wants to do the local grocery stores owned by the city to go compete. Well, that's failed pretty much mm-hmm. everywhere it's been tried mm-hmm. to be done. But I don't think the legislature is going to give him a free pass. And I don't think they're going to do what he is going to try and do. And I think for us as a country, New York's going to be able to do what New York wants to do. But I think for us, we can't afford for the city of New York to fail.
Mm-hmm.
you know, you get to that it's too big to fail type thing that we had with the financial institutions years ago. Some of our bigger cities are bordering on that thing where, hey, you can only be so crazy before all the rest of us in the country pay a price for it. So I think you're going to have people who are going to stop him.
So, and this is, and this, I'm not sure if we differ on this, but this is where I, I can be honest, I've never voted for Donald Trump.
So, it's okay. Which we
means
forgive
I,
you.
Which means I haven't voted for a Republican president since, what, 2012? Yeah, since 2012, which is insane.
But in 28, you can fix that because he won't be on the ballot again.
Well,
contrary to what people are trying to say.
This is why I get so angry.
Okay.
About Donald Trump and his disdain and disregard for the Constitution and constitutional processes, where he, you know, does he lean populist? Yes, but he's not a populist. He's, you know, just Trump. He wants what he wants. You know, he's not fiscally conservative at all. We know that, right? And so he just does what he wants to do on a whim. I do think he sees the Constitution as in the way. It's a hindrance and it's an obstruction. And because of that, when people are excited that Trump is bulldozing his way to get what he wants in our government or in policies or when it comes to geopolitical adversaries, whatever, you know, foreign policy, all he is doing is leveling the landscape. And he will be gone.
He will.
He will be gone. He will go. And you'll have an AOC or a Zoran Mamdani, and the landscape will have been paved because of Donald Trump's cavalier disregard and disdain for the Constitution. That bothers me a lot.
I know you and I are going to disagree on Trump. We definitely are. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge Donald Trump guy. I appreciate what Trump has done in a lot of policies. And I appreciate the way that he comes at it. And I think a lot of times he just enjoys poking the bear. And I think he says stuff a lot of times that he has no intention of ever doing, but he just loves messing with people and the press in particular. And he's learned over the last 12 years, if I say this, they're going to go down this road. And the further they go down that road and they pay attention to this, I can go do this, 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 and they'll never see it. And they'll never pay any attention to it. And he's right. He's been able to get a lot of stuff done that I think a lot of people don't pay any attention to, but they've been really good policies. Trump and I don't do things the same way. But I appreciate the fact of how he's gotten so many things done that I do agree with, not necessarily the way that he's done them. I'm a big Ronald Reagan guy. Mm-hmm. And when I look at myself of what kind of conservative are you, I'm a Reagan conservative. And I'm that guy that says, if I can get 70% or 80% of what I want done, I will take that. And then I'll come back for the other 20 or 30% down the road. The Republican Party these days has got a lot of people that I call 100%ers. And you either agree with them 100% or we're back to the opening where you said, well, I'm a rhino. And like, it's okay. A lot of those folks, if you disagree with them on one thing, 99 you agree. You disagree on one thing, they'll call you a rhino all day long. I don't know that Reagan could even get along with those people. I think they would call Reagan a rhino.
Oh, I think they already have.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Donald Trump has. I think that's, and that's why I would, you know, I am so discouraged by this. I respectfully disagree in that sense. I think he's done so much damage where he definitely identifies problems that are valid.
Yeah.
Immigration, right? The border crossings was a huge issue.
And I appreciate what he's gotten done in that area.
See, and that's where I don't, in the sense that the way ICE and the very performative, I would say, like, you know, kind of fear-based way they've gone after even upstanding Americans, or even if people cross the border illegally, did so, I would say, partly by our fault. We didn't have a policy. You know, it wasn't that America had a bad policy. It was mixed messages, unenforcement, a lack of enforcement, no enforcement, whatever it may be. And you had desperate people crossing the border who tried to do the right thing or maybe just took advantage of a messed up system, but has since established themselves as contributing taxpaying members of society that are being ripped apart from their own family members now, many of whom are American citizens, and it was supposed to be like the worst first, right? And it just got very performative, I think cruel and fear-based. So I feel like a lot of times Trump will identify a valid issue, but the way he goes about it, which is extra constitutional, meaning like or unconstitutional, or with disregard to the process. And I'm a process person because processes protect us. Processes, constitutional processes protect us from agendas moving too quickly in one direction or the other. And that's why I think the current administration, I think, is very, very damaging. But that's where I'm coming from.
I know we're at a break, so I'll just say, compared to where we were on the border issue, I appreciate where we are on the border today. Compared to where we were with the Biden administration and people were just coming across in droves, I appreciate where we are now. Has it been perfect? No. Are there things you would love to see it done differently? Of course. Should it be the worst of the worst? Yes. So there, no government is perfect. And I lead with that. There is no perfect government. And government is kind of set up to be inefficient. And the way that we do everything in government is set up to be that way. Private sector is always going to be better. And I think a lot of stuff, when you have a guy like Trump, who was used to being the you're fired guy with The Apprentice, and that's kind of how he was known. I mean, his brand is him being an anal sphincter. Let's be honest. That's exactly, it's the nicest way I can think to say that, right? So that was his brand before. And he was a playboy going back to the 70s. So all this stuff that you get with Trump is something that you shouldn't be surprised. That's what you get. But I think overall, when I look at the policies that he's got in place, I'm happy with it. I look at the Supreme Court, I'm happy with it compared to where it could have been. Are we all going to be happy with all of our politicians all the time? No, you're never going to be. Even myself, I'm disappointed with some decisions that I have to make at a local government level that I wish I didn't have to decide that particular way. But the way the laws are written, you don't have a ton of choice. I was having coffee this morning with Judge Chasnall, who's a great Associate Circuit Court judge in St. Charles County. I appreciate guys like that, who the law is the law. And he is doing stuff with our drug court to try to help people get second chances, to try to help them turn their life around. But he's doing it the right way. People of integrity matter. And I think the more we put people of integrity in office, the better product you're going to end up getting.
Just to clarify, that is not the Elvis judge.
No, okay. He is gone.
Okay.
He is gone, by the way. Elvis judge is no longer in St. Charles
County.
That
is Chris Ranji's new campaign.
He wants to be the Elvis judge?
He wants to support the Elvis judge.
Of course he does.
He is pro-Elvis judge.
The more he would know about that story, the less supportive he would be.
Oh, no. Well, thank you for texting in, 314-436-7900. We're moving on. Don't worry. He's Mike Gillum. I'm Amy Mark Scores. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Every year, there are old cartoons or branded items that enter public domain. Do you know who the latest one is?
I don't.
The latest, I don't know if you'd call it a, what would it be, a character? Character.
Okay.
It's a lady.
It's a lady.
Betty Boop.
Really?
And Betty Boop and Blondie are joining Mickey Mouse and Winnie the Pooh in the public domain. And I could have sworn that Betty Boop was older than Mickey Mouse.
Oh.
Like black and white.
I would think
real.
Mickey was a little before that. I would think Betty Boop, I want to say 40s. And Mickey was late 20s, early 30s. Sound right?
See, I thought Betty Boop was 30s, but it's been 95 years.
Okay.
Since Betty Boop booped her way onto the screens.
She booped her way on.
She booped her way
on. So she was 30s. There you go.
So, yes. So, the new... And then what they do, which I don't like. But see, I don't like horror or evil or violence. I don't like it. But these things like Mickey Mouse or Winnie the Pooh enter public domain, and then they make some horror movie out of it.
A horror
they
movie?
They did
so
Winnie
was
the
Betty
Pooh
Boop doing a horror
probably
movie?
Probably. They did Winnie the Pooh, what was it, Blood and Honey or something like that?
No
and they,
way.
They made a horror movie out of Winnie the Pooh.
He killed Tigger.
That would be so sad.
He would probably kill Piglet. It would be something like that. Pooh's like, you know what? I got no honey, and ham sounds good right now. So, you know.
So, Betty Boop, 95 years. Her very first short was Dizzy Dishes, and it debuted in 1930.
There you go.
1930.
So I was off by 10 years. But was Minnie, actually, was Mickey around before?
Ooh, that I would have to...
Uh-oh,
was it
he's on it.
Was Steamboat Willie the first Mickey Mouse? Because do you know Mickey Mouse's name before he was Mickey?
I'm guessing it was Steamboat Willie.
No, that's what I thought it was. It was Mortimer.
Mortimer?
Mortimer Mouse.
Mortimer. That makes sense. Mortimer Mouse, okay.
Yeah.
I'll buy Morty. That. I'll agree. Do I get the square?
Yes.
Thank
yes, you.
You
do. I like the name Mortimer. I don't have a dog, but I'm always trying to think of a name for my dog when I get one.
Yes.
You can never be too prepared.
This is true.
I've always wanted to name my dog Bob Costas. I think that's a great name for a dog.
Why?
I don't know. Because I love Bob Costas so much. I feel like it would be a great honor. And my friends have a Yorkie poo. His name is Willie Nelson.
Oh, how funny.
And he's adorable. And he always sleeps in the guest bed when I stay with my friends. So I said,
does he seem high all the time?
I sleep with Willie Nelson all the time. he's adorable. He's a little Yorkie poo. And so I think Bob Costas would be a great name. But I think Mortimer is a good pet name.
Mortimer would be great as your dog gets old.
You call Morty?
Call him Morty.
Oh, come on, Morty.
You know,
come on in, Morty.
What was that? Meals with Morty? What was that book?
I don't know that
Mornings
book.
With Morty. Mornings
Tuesdays
with Morty.
Tuesdays with Morty.
Tuesdays with Morty. That's what it was.
Meals with
yes.
Morty.
I'm like,
those
what?
Those are two totally different things.
And
all
we
right.
went full circle. Thanks for being here.
Hey, would you like to talk a little about media? So CBS News, obviously, had been taking over a new head of CBS News and Barry Weiss. And there was a message by Tony DoCuppil, or DoCuppil, sorry, gave a message to CBS viewers the other day.
I haven't heard this.
He's the new CBS News anchor. I want to get your thoughts on it. 314-436-7900. It's the Chris and Amy Show on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.